Good morning. You mothers, give you a special, special shout out today. The world sets this day aside. We call it Mother's Day, and rightly so. We hope that we as Christians hope that we honor our mothers more than just once a day. The influence that you have had has just rippled out, as I hope we can see today in our lesson. Our lesson is taken from Mark 14:8 that Terrence read today. And in it, the first part of that verse says, "She has done what she could." In context, a woman that we know from the book of John was Mary, anointed Jesus and with oil, and Jesus says, "She has done what she could." We're going to focus a little bit on women today. It appears to me that the messages from about these women could be applied to all of us. Should be applied to all of us. So men, we're not off the hook. Okay? We're not off the hook. Single women aren't off the hook. "Well, I'm not a mom." You know? These concepts apply to us as Christians. We are going to look at some remarkable women in the Bible, and I hope we can be a little bit encouraged, inspired to do what we could. She has done what she could. What more can you ask? What more could God ask of us if we did what we could? If we rose to our ability. We as Christians have been blessed with different abilities, different skills, different talents. They're not all the same. But if we could get out of ourselves, wring that wash rag out for every last drop of what we can get out of ourselves, that's what God wants from us. Jesus says, "She has done what she could." Other people might have done more. Other people might have, couldn't have done as much. But she did what she could. And that is something that I hope when the dust settles and it's all over, that we can say that about ourselves. That God will say that about us. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so did what they could. One of the things, and this is not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination, one of the things that I've seen, and I've learned a lot, I have learned a lot from women. In my years as a Christian, I've learned a lot from women. And observing them. And one of the things that I've learned in the fact that they've done what they could, they can teach. Women do not get the opportunity to get up here in front of a congregation and deliver a lesson. Women can, there's a lot of restrictions that God has placed. There's restrictions God has placed on men. Not every man gets to be an elder. There's some restrictions on people. We had a lesson within this last year, the roles of men and women in the church. But that doesn't keep women from teaching and sharing God's word. And I look at women that I've known in my life, but also women right here. Women right here that teach and share the Word of God. And that is important. They teach and share the word through Bible class, either as a student or as a teacher in a Bible class. Ladies' Bible class, I tell you, I am so proud of you ladies that meet together every Friday at 11 o'clock. You do a remarkable work. You share the Word of God with each other, and then you take that and you take it to others. I've heard conversations of you that you were able to take what you learned in class and teach it to a friend of yours, an acquaintance, a person you're sitting next to at the doctor's office, a similar situation. You share and you teach the Word of God. Mission work. Caitlin Bruce is getting ready to embark on a 2-year effort to do mission work, teaching and sharing the Word of God in that way. I've known numerous women that have gone and have supported the mission fields. And that is so admirable to do that. I hate, and this is just a personal thing, I hate people, I'm just a housewife. Don't sell yourself short. As a mother, you teach your children. In fact, it's probably the first teaching and sharing of God's word children have is usually from the mom. The influence you have on children is always felt. Always. Your spouse. How many times have we heard that, when we got married, he didn't want nothing to do with it. And it goes both ways. It goes both ways, men and women, husbands and wives, friends, whatever. When we got married, he didn't want anything to do with the church. And then years later, that person is a preacher, that person is an elder, that person is a faithful member of the Lord's church. Because the only connection to the church they've had has been that spouse. And then that opened the door for others. So don't sell yourselves short. I'm just a housewife. There's been a lot of people converted to the kingdom of God through the mom or through the woman in the house. An example of this is Priscilla. In the Bible, we see a very, very influential woman in the New Testament. In Romans 16, she was the wife of a man named Aquila. And in Romans 16, verse 3, Paul, in the closing of the book of Romans, he says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus." What a great pat on the back that is, coming from your brother Paul, that these people are my fellow workers. That's how he sees them, my fellow workers. And he didn't say, greet Aquila. And his wife. They're both fellow workers. And then skipping a verse into verse 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. She opened her home. This couple opened their home, and the church, Christians met with them in their home. We do not know if Aquila was preaching. We don't know how influential he was in that. They met in their home. She made the preparation each week to accept Christians into her home so they could worship God. What an influence. We see in Acts 18, verse 18, so Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed for Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. They were assisting Paul in his missionary efforts. And traveled with him. Traveling back then was not like traveling today. We travel all the way across the country in an air-conditioned car. Or we get on an airplane, can be all the way across the continent in hours. It was a lot more effort back then. And they were assisting Paul as missionaries in his efforts. In Acts 18, just a few verses later, it says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures. Wow, what a description. I could just picture this man Apollos, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. Came to Ephesus. This man had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John. So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Apollos, the mighty man of God that he was, mighty in the scriptures, eloquent, was even more so because of the influence of Priscilla and Aquila. They helped make the mighty greater. Were they more influential than Apollos? Who knows? They had an influence on Apollos, and all that he touched was helpful from them. You have the example of Lois and Eunice. We've looked at them before in some lessons. In 2 Timothy, Paul is writing. This is considered the last letter that Paul ever wrote before his death. And in 2 Timothy 1:5, he's writing to Timothy, and this is kind of a personal, well, not kind of, it is a personal letter. He says, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and am persuaded is in you also. This is a letter to his beloved Timothy, and he's recalling back the influence that his grandmother and mother had on Timothy. That they are known for that genuine faith, just like he is. Now, Timothy's father was a Greek. We don't have any record that he ever became a Christian. Wouldn't it be nice if the Bible Part 2 came out and people like that, you know, we see that became a Christian. But bottom line, Lois and Eunice, everything that Timothy achieved in his aiding of Paul, the foundation came from his grandmother and his mother. I'm just a housewife. No, you're not. No, you're not. And we see examples like this so influential for others, and it just ripples out and out and out. Another thing that I've witnessed women doing is aiding others. There's that, I don't care whether you're a mother or not, there's that maternal attitude in women. They care for others. They aid others. I've seen countless examples of women, like in regards to household stuff, coming in and providing food when people were ill or somebody in the hospital. The thing is, life still goes on. Life goes on. So-and-so gets sick, goes to the hospital, doesn't mean that life just stops for everybody else. And I've seen women step in and selflessly provide food for the family, prepare the meals so they don't have to worry about that. The kids are being fed. They'll come in and, clothes keep piling up. Whether mom's healthy enough to do it or not, or dad or whoever. And women will go in and babysit the kids, the young children, help clean, do laundry. There's nothing wrong with men doing this stuff either, by the way. This is about women today, but there's nothing wrong with a man coming in and helping doing those things. Okay? I look at the help that women and men help young mothers today with children that seem sometimes overwhelmed. And not even overwhelmed, but just to give them a chance to fully focus on the worship. Maybe take the kid. I've seen numerous times at this location, people taking children and sitting with them. And mom gets a chance to fully focus on worship. And that's admirable. I've seen women driving each other to doctor's office visits, to the grocery store, taking them shopping. Again, I look at what goes on in that ladies' Bible class. And they are, women, if you've got an opportunity on Fridays at 11 o'clock, I think they've got two more weeks and then they're breaking for the summer. But get involved in that ladies' Bible class. They have grown so close with each other. And I see what they do. It's amazing. They take each other to doctor visits. They pick them up and take them grocery shopping. They bring them to worship or Bible class because maybe some of them can't drive. It's amazing the encouragement and support that women give. It's amazing. They send cards, different social media, whether it be a Facebook message, a text, or whatever. They visit each other. They visit other people in the congregation. They do the service that they provide for the congregation. When we go and go to blow our nose, that Kleenex just doesn't appear. When we take communion, it just didn't poof and it's there. There's people behind all of this. And they're serving each other. And they're serving their Lord. The encouraging, I'll speak for me, the encouragement that they give me in an email, in a text, a pat on the back, it goes a long way. It goes a long, long way. The things that people do out of the blue, study tracts showing up that we can pass out to other people. Why? Because a woman did it. Paid for it, bought them, wanted to do that form of service. Doing things for each other. And it's the heart of the women are it seems endless. You look at Mary and Martha, the service that they did. In Luke 10, verse 38, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a village." This is talking about Jesus. "That he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." Here is Jesus being welcomed into the house of Mary and Martha. He will have a very, very close relationship with them and their brother Lazarus. You look at Lydia. In Acts 16, it says, when she and her household were baptized, she had an influence. Not only was she baptized, her family was baptized. Her household. She begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. She is a brand new Christian, and she's offering to open her home and her services, food, etc., to Paul and his group that is traveling with him. And she was receptive to the Word of God. And then she did what she could. She opened up her home to Paul and his entourage. Later on, after Paul was arrested in verse 40, after he got out of prison, so they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. They have a contact. We know they just got out of prison. We know we can go to Lydia. She's very receptive of us. And I just look at the women in this audience today that are like that. They've done what they could. And last but not least, and this is just for our lesson today, this is not an exhaustive list. I look at the women who attend worship and Bible class. They're not the ones maybe teaching, maybe they're not this or that, but they're attending. Today would not be a good day to come to me and give me the reasons, all the excuses why you don't have to come. I've heard them. Today's not a good day to tell me that. Because I don't want to hear it. I'll be flat out. I don't want to hear all the excuses, because most of them are lame. Well, I don't have to be here. I look at the women. I look at the women that they attend in spite of busy. Well, I've got things going on. They're here in spite of that. I look at women that have health issues, that them just being here takes more effort than others put in. Just by getting here, it takes a great deal of effort. And they're here. She's no longer with us anymore. But I think of Charlotte. I think of the things. I think of the health issues she went through. Never blamed anybody. Never used it as an excuse, was here in spite of the things she was going through. Sometimes women, and this goes for everybody, are here without the support of spouse or a family. It makes it a lot easier when you have a whole family unit coming. But if you're the only one, my hat goes off to you. To where you're coming, and you're being an influence. Because when you're here, you're showing others where your priority is. And it may be that spouse that down the road you have the influence on. Down the road, that neighbor that sees you go every Sunday morning. They know it is important to you. It's more than just, and you may not even know them. The lady that we stop and get a little drink, usually a snack every morning on the way to church, the way to worship. It didn't start out. It started out going to church. Yes, I guess. No, because she seen me in there in my normal cutoffs and t-shirts and, you know, going to church this morning. Then it's gotten to the point she knows I'm preaching. Hey, good luck in your lesson today. That's where it's gotten. She knows where we go. She can't come because she's working right now. But it's to that point, the influence. You women, you're showing your family, you're showing a spouse, you're teaching your family what is important. It's time for worship. I'll be there. And it's encouraging to me. It's encouraging to me for you to be here. Because I get it. There's lots of other things that are competing for your time. But you're showing each other. You're showing your family. You're showing your neighbors. You're showing us. You're showing each other what's important. What your priority is. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider one another. Why? In order to stir up love and good works. It's hard to do that if you're isolated. It's hard to do that if you're not with the brethren. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but you get together, you build each other up, you're considering one and each other to stir them up, to provoke them to good works. And I'd like to end with Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord. This is in the days after Jesus' crucifixion. This is still in the early days of Acts. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. That shows how important of a role the women had. How influential of a role the women had. And it brings us back To the question earlier on in the lesson, you know, are you doing what you can do? Jesus says she has done what she could do. And that's one of those things we have to each ask ourselves, each one of us. Are we doing all that we can do? If you need to respond to the invitation, if you need prayers, encouragement, if you realize I have some things that I need to repent of that are keeping me from doing all I can do, cut those things loose right now. Cut them loose. Mother's Day 2018. It's when you say goodbye to them. If you need prayers of the congregation, we've prayed and have prayed numerous times for each other, and we will continue to. If you have been studying and need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you're not baptized, you're not saved. if you've been studying and you realize, like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts 8, here's water, what prevents me from being baptized? We encourage you to do that. Mother's Day 2018 is a good time to be baptized. Put it on the calendar. Right now, if you're looking for a church home, if you've been to some various congregations looking and searching, we would love to have you worship regularly with us. And if you would like to identify with us as a member here at South Valley, we would love to have you. We'll put you to work and we will work together with you in the kingdom. Whatever your need, if you will come forward, let those needs be known while Colin leads us in the invitation song. Let us stand and sing.